Well, as we mentioned earlier, share markets have surged off the back of the Eurozone debt deal. Yesterday, London closed up 2.9%, Germany 5.4%, and France 6.3%. The deal will see private banks and insurers take a 50% loss on their Greek loans, a recapitalisation of hard-hit European banks, and a beefed-up rescue fund, bailout fund of 1 trillion euros. But it's premature to say the crisis is over. Shane Oliver is Chief Economist at AMP Capital Investors. He joins you now from Sydney. Shane, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Thank you.
Given those figures, markets seem to like the deal, Shane. Is this a one-day euphoria, do you think, or a more substantial shift?
I think what's happened here is that there was a lot of scepticism that Europe would get a deal done, and of course they've now delivered, and so a lot of investors who'd held back, because the rally we've seen over the last month has come on very low volume, so a lot of investors had held back. Now we've seen a deal done, a lot of those investors are now throwing in the towel and jumping on board. So it is normal after Europe announces a plan for markets to rally. I think this one could probably go a little bit longer over the next couple of months into Christmas. By the same token, I think the underlying reality is that there's a lot of difficulties with this plan. There's going to be a lot of twists and turns, and it's not going to do anything to stop recession in Europe.
Okay, let's go to some of the twists and turns. What do you like about the deal, and what still concerns you?
Well, there's several things I like about it. One, it is accepting reality regarding Greece, that it is insolvent, and therefore writing down some more of its debt. On top of that, they've certainly beefed up the bailout fund. A bit unsure as to which path they'll take, whether it's the insurance route or you're relying on funds from other countries as well. But they have beefed up the firepower there, and of course the recapitalisation of the banks has to be welcomed. So all of the things are in the right direction. I think I'd probably characterise it as saying it's a good plan. But it's probably not fantastic. A better one would have involved, I think, much more aggression from the European Central Bank, cutting interest rates, pumping cash into the European economy, buying up any debt that speculators think that they're going to focus on, and effectively doing what America did 3 or 4 years ago.
Let's pick some of those elements apart. The banks have agreed to write off 50% of their Greek loans. This all goes to the acceptance that Greece is insolvent. Is that a pledge in blood, and will it really amount to half of all Greek debt held by the banks?
Well, I must one thinks there's a bit like deja vu all over again. We did go through all of this back in July. The International Institute of Finance agreed to a 21% cut in Greek debt on July 21st, which was announced. Then, of course, we spent the next 2 or 3 months trying to get the actual numbers up to 90% acceptance, because that group is accepted on the behalf of its bankers, but it's like a lobby group. Of course, all of those bankers and lots of other organisations have to sign up, and I think we'll go through the next few months trying to get those organisations to sign up. Some will say no, they'll be pretty resistant. Lots of issues around this. There's a thing called credit default swaps, which is basically insurance when you buy a bond to cover you against losses. Obviously, the aim is that those default swaps are not triggered, but then people might start to wonder, well, what's the point of buying them in the first place if we suffer a 50% loss? We're not insured. So all sorts of issues around there, which I think will continue for the next little while. The other point to note on it all, of course, is that this is only a portion of Greek bondholders seeing their debt written down. Others, including the IMF, are not seeing their debt written down. The total reduction in Greek debt will probably be no more than 25%. So Greece will still have a pretty high debt burden.
Yeah, so Greece is still encumbered. What about the banks, though, who, if they do come to accept this haircut, how much will it cost them in dollars? Do we know that?
I haven't seen the dollar amount, but it will be substantial for French banks and, to a lesser degree, German banks. The other aspect of it, of course, is that the Europeans are now requiring European banks to write down their sovereign bond holdings to actual market values. That's why they've got to be recapitalised, because when they do that, they'll see their capital ratios go down substantially, hence they've got to raise capital in the market or alternatively come to governments to get it.
If this burden is going to be significant, as you say, substantial for French banks, why did the shares in the French banks rise on average 20% overnight? How do you explain that?
It does seem a bit perverse in that sense. I think you've got to see it in the context of the falls that had occurred earlier. We saw very sharp falls in European share markets, generally led by European and particularly French banks. Now, of course, some of that's being unwound. There was a fear back then, particularly a month ago, that Europe was going to be going through another global financial crisis, that a bank would be actually going bust, having major ramifications globally and driving a very deep recession in Europe. That risk you could argue has hopefully been reduced now, and hence markets are rallying on the back of that. But those bank share prices are still well down from their highs earlier this year.
Let's go to the bailout fund, the decision to boost it to 1 trillion euros. Is that enough? Is that the big bazooka that the British Prime Minister David Cameron was calling for?
I suspect probably not. It's certainly moving in the right direction. I probably would have been happier to hear the number of $2 trillion. $1 trillion will cover Spanish and Italian debt issuance, in other words, the amount they have to borrow, over the next couple of years. But what happens, I mean, the big issue here is, what about Greece, what about France and Belgium, say, if markets start to worry about France, as they have in recent weeks, with a sharp rise in French bond yields relative to German bond yields, and if that continues, surely the fund would have to buy bonds issued by France as well.
And it's not big enough to do that.
It's not big enough to do that. And there's also uncertainty as to how big it will get. You know, we've got to get sovereign wealth funds in China on side, and I know there's discussions going on in that front. Will the IMF be involved? There'll be difficult negotiations to get private investors involved as well. And, of course, when you do get them involved, it will be a somewhat cumbersome fund with a lot of bureaucracy around it, which may mean it will be slow to move, unlike a situation where the European Central Bank just goes in holus bolus and buys all the bonds, triggering or scaring off speculators in the process.
So how reliant is it on China, this deal, and how what's the talk in China?
Well, there has been some favourable news out of China. China has indicated that it's willing to talk. That said, I suspect that any involvement by China will be token. I don't see them putting up a lot of money, because bear in mind, China was one of the first to go into the US back in 2008, propping up US banks, and it was the Chinese Sovereign Wealth Fund involved, and they suffered big losses on those investments. So they're going to be somewhat sceptical about all of this. I think they probably will come to the party, but it won't be the big rescue that everybody hopes, and I think they'll only come to the party if other countries do as well.
So the markets like it in the short term, but you think it's premature to say the crisis is over?
I think it's way too early to say the crisis is over. I think what has been dodged here is a financial blow-up. That's good news. That had been factored into markets a month or so ago, and that scenario is now being unwound, and there's probably further to go. A lot of investors still sitting on the sidelines. But I think as we go through next year, the environment in Europe will still remain pretty volatile. This vicious cycle of fiscal austerity causing weaker growth, more budget blowouts, I think will probably continue, but at least we hopefully won't have that blow-up that had been feared.
The global blow-up. What about for our market today off the back of, the deal yesterday and the market rally overnight?
I think we should see further gains in our market. We did see a good 2.5% rise yesterday, which partly anticipated that, but the fact that Europe was up 5-6%, the US is up around 3% when I last looked, that suggests a bit more upside in our market. The other thing to note in all of this, of course, is the US economy. There was a lot of fears about the US going to recession. The figures overnight out of the US suggest, that's not the case. It grew at 2.5%, and that's another factor explaining the rally in markets.
Okay, Shane, thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Shane Oliver, he's Chief Economist at AMP Capital Investors, joining us there from Sydney. He's pleased with the Eurozone deal, but not quite convinced.